Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Trae Young will put it in play to DeAndre Hunter. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 131-116. And life remains for the Chicago Bulls.
Eastern Conference playing games last night. Good morning, Metroplex. The sun is out, but the wind is still here. Thank goodness. We are at the Invited Celebrity Classic, Las Colinas Country Club in Irving. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Just do not know what else is going to happen today. Terry Francona, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz surprising us during the commercial-free expressway. But let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks, and they were thrown into a rumor yesterday. Sam Amick said that the Mavs are worth watching as a possible suitor for Klay Thompson. So let's start off there.
What would his nickname be if we were going with the Evan Carter route?
0 for 10 shooting night Klay Thompson, as we call him.
34 years old. Obviously not the same guy. He was talking about like max contract before this season.
Bad mistake.
That's not going to happen.
He's about ready to get Caitlin Clark money at this point. Salary, anyway.
What was that endorsement deal for Caitlin?
She got an eight-figure endorsement deal with Nike. They're going to make a Caitlin Clark shoe. When are you going to go get that one, Sean?
Like that?
So, Klay Thompson as a possibility. Some Mavs fans wrote back, no, we already have Klay Thompson and Tim Hardaway Jr. We don't need another chucker. We don't need another bricker.
Klay Thompson could stare up into the eclipse, go blind, be post-Achilles, and I would give him double the minutes of Tim Hardaway Jr.
Stop it.
Gosh.
You do not want to do that.
His three-point percentage, okay, these are the three-point percentages over the last 4 years. 40, 38, 41, back to 38 this year.
I mean, that's not bad.
He scored 18 a game. Like, okay, I'm not going to look. Don't look. Highest points per game average in Klay Thompson's career. What's the most that he scored?
22.
Yeah. And this year he was at 18.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe the Klay Thompson plummet and fall off is a little more exaggerated.
Well, if the question is, can he still get, when teams are trying to lock him down, right? And I don't think there's a coincidence that this is in a play-in game, a playoff game. Right, so can he get open when they're trying? Teams don't try 1 through 82 on defense as much as maybe fans would like. But when it comes down to a point where it's a playoff game and they're trying not to give him open shots, now listen, he was not going to. You play that game back 100 times, he's not going to go for 10 again.
Right.
You know, he had an off night coupled with the fact that guys were in his face, and that's going to happen. But I mean, yeah, Klay Thompson can't be your 2 on a great team.
No.
But he could be your 3. He could be your 4. Yes. And that's a heck of a 3 or 4.
So yeah, I mean it's a little relative too when we're talking about a fall off.
Right.
Because Klay Thompson was one of the best shooters of all time. And so like pre-Achilles, he shot 46% from the field, 42% from 3 for his career. These 3 years since the Achilles injury, he's shooting 43% from the field and 39% from 3.
And what's he giving you defensively anymore?
Like, yeah,
that used to be a part of his game.
He doesn't move the same way anymore.
Vegas sent me the free agency odds from Bet Online. Klay Thompson's next team, if not Golden State, Orlando's the favorite. Orlando, OKC, San Antonio, Philadelphia, the Detroit Pistons. I'll just fly through some of these other names. Chris Paul's next team, Clippers, Lakers, 76ers, Bucks. Draymond's next team, Detroit, Michigan State, John Smoltz. The Pistons, Heat, Dallas Mavericks tied for third with the Orlando Magic. Steph Curry's next team, the San Antonio Spurs.
They'll play with Wemby?
From Vegas, 2-1, then the Lakers, Hornets, and Miami Heat. Trae Young's next team, Lakers, then Bulls, then Mavericks. So those are some of the next team odds.
That'd be interesting.
No thanks.
Want Trae Young?
No.
Nope. You got nothing. You don't even think Trae's a good player.
I don't know if he's not a good player. He's not a fit here. I got two ball-dominant guys.
He would need the ball in his hand too many times.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Kyrie, Trae, and Luka?
Yeah, no, that's too many ball-dominant guys. But
no thanks.
I mean, he's good enough. He's not a one, but I mean, I think he'd be a really good two on a team, just depending on what the fit is.
Well, is he going to, like, be a little unselfish, like, with his shots? Like, he just has the all-time green light.
He's a chucker.
He's a chucker. All right, what do the Mavericks have to do? Just like we say, the Cowboys have to get to the NFC Championship. The Cowboys have to do this to not be considered a playoff failure or have their season, be deemed as coming up short. What's that answer to the Dallas Mavericks as we start the playoffs Sunday against the Clippers?
Win a series. I do think you need to beat the Clippers. Look, I think
who's the favorite?
Mavs.
This is
-135
on the road.
That moved, didn't it? Because it was the other day. It was -100 for the Clippers and +120 for the Mavericks.
I saw yesterday on my account was -135. Now that could be after the Broussard speculation with Kyrie and his knee.
Kawhi.
Kawhi. Vegas knows far more than Chris Broussard does about the health of Kawhi Leonard or anybody for that matter. So I saw yesterday Mavs were -135 and the Clippers were plus money.
All right, give me the scales. Like the Cowboys losing to the Packers on a scale 1 to disappointment was like a 9 or a 10. If the Mavericks lose to the Clippers in 7, what's the scale?
Disappointment.
Yeah.
So just in a vacuum, the disappointment's a 5. Like it's whatever.
So can we call that a failure?
In the sense of the context of you've lost to them twice already and you've played so well down the stretch, especially compared to them, that would hurt to like lose a third time where it's like, how much better a position do you have to be in to potentially take them out and you're still not able to? I think that ultimately success is you get past the Clippers. Anything after that is gravy.
Oh, I think if you get past the Clippers, then the absolute minimum is the West Finals.
Oh, I think that
I would be far more disappointed with beating the Clippers and losing to the Thunder, because you should absolutely beat a team that has never done anything in the postseason.
Oh, Ruben is about to turn on your mic.
I'm sorry about Ruben, but
he looks so mad.
You know, history shows the Thunder should probably lose their first round series. Like that's just the reality of it. No, they won't because they're probably not gonna play. They're not gonna play a great team.
I feel like your expectation for the Mavericks, your playoff expectation, is higher than ours in terms of what they have to do.
Well, look, I mean, when you finish the season the way they did,
yep.
There's very few. I mean, name me the team that is better than them today, the way they've played over the last month and a half, 2 months of the season. You're gonna find not very many teams. And I think they've put themselves in the position to have those lofty expectations. Then you couple the fact that they're on the opposite side of the bracket as Denver. And this is nothing. Find me the team where it sets up better than. I mean, in the West, at least. I don't think it sets up better for any team.
So you think they have to get to the West Finals?
If they beat the Clippers, yes. Then I think that I'd be disappointed if they don't beat OKC. If they lose to the Clippers, look, the Clippers are still a good team. They've been a good team all year. And they're a veteran-laden team. There's no shame. To me, there's far more shame in losing Oklahoma City than there is losing the Clippers.
Find a lower seed, like one of the road seeds?
Yeah,
find
a team that isn't like the one or the two that has a better setup to make the conference finals than the Mavericks.
What's the fan text saying? 877-881-1053. Like, what level of I'll be disappointed because I'm picking the Mavs. Like, how many people are going to pick the Clippers? I'm not even really considering the Clippers. I'm picking the Mavericks in the series, so I'll be disappointed. But, like, it won't touch the Cowboys-Packers disappointment.
No, nowhere close. No. 8-1-7, you can't be mad if the Mavericks lose to the Clippers. The Clippers can potentially at least get to the Western Conference Finals if you're not playing no slouch. 3-6-1, if completely healthy, they should be in the Western Conference Finals. Look, I mean, there is
I don't think there's any shame in losing the Clippers. I think there's more shame in losing OKC.
Like, I mean, in general, like, what's one of the lines that you hear about, you know, in basketball over the years is that, like, youth plays in the regular season, you know, grizzled veteran age plays better in the postseason. Like, that makes a difference there. And so, sure, like, Oklahoma City, they're a good basketball team, and they are also very young. They're as young as the North Carolina Tar Heels in terms of their starting lineup. And so that's going to be, you know, when you're going up against Dallas, Dallas has matched up pretty well with you, especially after the Gafford trade. That's potentially something that's going to set up nicely for the Mavericks, even though they are on the road. So, I mean, Western Conference Finals, I think, is absolutely attainable for Dallas. I don't feel like that's an unrealistic goal, but I wouldn't be disappointed if they beat the Clippers and then fall short against the Thunder.
Mark Cuban was on the Run It Back pod, and he was asked if Luka is the greatest Maverick of all time.
Is he the greatest Mav of all time already? It's got to be,
yeah,
right?
Dirk is going to disagree with me, but he is. And the difference is, you know, Luka can control all aspects of a game. With Dirk, you had to get him the ball in his spot. He's not going to bring the ball up and just attack. And I think that's the big difference. And, you know, there's no disrespect to either. They're both, you know, top 10, top 15 players of all time. And so I think the bigger question is, where will Luka rank all time? And I don't think there's any question. He has the ability to be top two, top three all time.
Look, top two is tough to crack. Let's just put it out there. It's going to be real tough. You're going to need a minimum.
Top two all time?
Because he said top two, top three all time. To get to the top two all time, let's forget the two, top three, you're going to need a minimum of four championships.
Yeah.
Even to crack the top five, you're going to need a minimum of four championships. So that's a long way to go.
All right, let's talk about this Jontay Porter gambling scandal. Bobby's been following it. Now I need to rely on Choppy for the breakdown of what this guy did. This is the brother of Michael Porter from Denver on the Toronto Raptors. He got banned for life yesterday. He was betting on the NBA. He was feeding some other bettors his injury status.
An accomplice, yeah.
He was leaving games early for his own individual over-unders to hit, and he bet on his own team to lose.
Ooh, that's bad.
Final nail.
Gone. That was the final nail. Now, he wasn't playing in that game, right? He was hurt for the game that he bet on them to lose.
No.
That's the way I read
it. He had to lose, yeah. The two games where the unders were bet heavily, he did leave the
game. He knew he was injured going in, and he was going to give it a go.
One was an injury, and one was, I'm sick, and he left.
Yeah, and that's like
that. Sportsbooks notice irregular betting on the over-under on his stats in two Raptors games. In both games, he left after playing only a few minutes.
Some people are dumb, all right? Some people are dumb, and the accomplice
here. He didn't do this for, like, a crazy payoff.
Well, $1 million.
He didn't get the...
It was an $80,000 bet to win over $1 million.
Yeah.
And
it never got paid out. But the bets range from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,000. The NBA said the total payout from those bets was $76,000, net winnings of $22,000. So besides the $1 million one, we're like talking about $20,000, $30,000.
We're talking peanuts here for an NBA guy. This is where, like, you know, they needed to be smarter. Like, if you place a bet that is way over norm on a guy that isn't a household name, you're going to raise some eyebrows. And there are only, the betting world is so small, there are only a handful of gamblers out there who place these kind of wagers, and all the gamblers know who they are.
Really?
So when somebody, Billy Walters did a great, he's got a book out there, he's a Texan, he's a legendary gambler. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT of gambling. And he is the one that figured out, I think it was the Arizona State scandal from years ago. And he's like, these kids came in betting $80,000. We don't know who they are. Nobody comes in and places bets for $80,000 unless we know who they are.
Right.
All right. And if you do that, you're just dumb. Like, place a $5,000 bet.
Right.
All right. Get to be known, and then you start increasing your bet, because the gambling world, they all know the whales. They all know who's placing big money bets. Mm. And if they don't know you, it's a red flag immediately.
So they knew Ipe then, the Dodgers. That's, or did they know Shohei? Yeah, did they know Shohei?
Place at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. And then he sat there and bet. He bet on them to lose.
Bet on them to lose. That's it. And then you're done.
Night-night.
Then you're done.
See you later.
You can at least justify it if you bet on them to win. But the moment you bet on them to lose, it's like, okay, we're done here.
It is Jack Leiter Day. The Rangers get the W yesterday on this radio station, and a baseball insider says after what this guy did to the Rangers, he needs to be dealt with. That's next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A long hold, and now the pitch. It's on the outside corner for a called third strike. Split-fingered pitch catches the corner. Yates gets the job done, records his second victory as a Texas Ranger, and seals this 5-4 win over the Tigers.
Nasty stuff from Kirby Yates, taking advantage of a lot of Detroit airs. Friend of the show now, Josh Smith, with the pinch hit RBI double, wins it for the good guys. We'll have more afternoon baseball today, which we'll tell you about in just a second. It's too bad nobody in Detroit saw the end of this game. I tune in, and I'm looking behind home plate. There's like nine people like in the back hallway and no one in the stands, I guess because of the rain and the wind that was coming.
Yeah, it started to open up a little bit. But, I mean, it wasn't a well-attended game anyway, and that's what's going to happen when you have three straight noon games or 1 o'clock games Detroit time in the middle of the week while kids are still in school. You're getting no crowd.
But the Rangers beat their best pitcher.
They did. They did beat their best pitcher, and that's a good win. Even though they blew it, you know, they tried to give it away.
That was a shinx right there. When Sean tweeted that Jonah Heim gave him the insurance run, I don't want to put that on the Rangers.
I'm not joking. If someone for 6 months bet the opposite of when I do something like that, I guarantee my mother, my lovely mother, who keeps my tax returns, angel on earth. She's like, you've always been a jinx. She's like, the Buffalo Bills don't have a Super Bowl because of you, because you were rooting for them in all those games. And she's like, you're just the opposite.
My goodness. Jonte Porter.
She's German. She's cold.
Jonte Porter should have just been listening to our show. He would have been fine.
That's right. You just go total opposite.
It's a very harsh language, too, German.
It is very harsh. Very harsh.
Oh, man.
Spanish is a beautiful, flowing, you know, but German is choppy.
Yes. Very.
Is that the German accent on that? Choppy.
Chop. This is very choppy like that. So today is Jack Leiter Day. 11:30 pregame, first pitch, 12:10 here on 105.3 The Fan. Ken Rosenthal, baseball insider, talking about Jack Leiter on foul territory.
He has worked on some mechanical things. They really redid him last year. And then he came back to camp this year. They had to kind of tweak it again. But he is a kid that has worked on some things that, in theory, should improve his control. And I haven't really studied his minor league numbers in great depth, but they would not be recalling him if they did not believe he was ready. Chris Young is their GM. He's a former pitcher himself. He is quite a good GM. He won the World Series last year, but if there's any one area in which he has more expertise, it would be on the pitching end of it. So they're excited about this.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know if that's the exact line of thinking. Like, well, they wouldn't be calling him up unless he was ready. It's like,
well, I mean, look,
did take almost the entire starting rotation being hurt before they said, all right, you can be the fifth guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a desperation aspect to it.
That's promotion by necessity.
Yes, by necessity. Yeah. But, I mean, you could say they didn't pass him over. Right, like they could have gone and found another Cody Bradford or somebody else, like that type of person in their system to elevate, and they wouldn't have done this last year, no matter how many injuries they had, because he did struggle so much. I'm really excited. He's apparently getting a lot of swings and misses with the fastball right now. His second and third offerings are starting to look better. The curveball, the change, that kind of stuff that he's throwing. So all the reports coming out of there are really exciting. I don't know what are we expecting today? Like, legitimately, 4 or 5 innings? Something like that, I would guess. Maybe he gives up a homer or something like that.
He's not the first. He's not the first. He won't be the last player that got promoted because of a need with an injury.
Sure.
It happens every year. Shoot, man, it happens almost every week, it seems like, nowadays,
when
someone's having
like
to get promoted.
Yeah, but you'd like to be the phenom prospect.
That gets, you'd like to start the year with the team.
He's been pitching better.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it's not outright desperation, but I'm excited for it. I can't wait just to see the stuff. Hopefully he has better stuff than Pete Fairbanks.
Oh.
From the Rays, who talked about his performance last night postgame.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pete, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Thanks to Sandler for sending that to me late last night as he gave up 2 earned in a loss to the Angels. So now we are separating suckage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What did he say?
He said that
general
it was...
suck.
Yeah, it wasn't a specific suck. It was kind of an all-encompassing suck.
Yeah.
Which is... Boy, it's tough to say, like, I'm not going to let it beat me down. It's like, it sounds like...
No,
it
I thought it generally
down.
Sucked.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's really...
I've tried that.
Out.
Yeah.
Give me something else. I've broken down the videotape. Ken Rosenthal also said something has to be done about Wyatt Langford's nemesis, Angel Hernandez.
There has to be a line, right? There has to be a line where you tell the umpires union, enough is enough. We cannot stand this anymore. Now, if you remember, Angel Hernandez sued Major League Baseball. He wanted better postseason assignments. And it came out during that proceeding that they really don't like Angel Hernandez very much. They didn't think of him very highly as an umpire, and yet nothing has happened. I will say one interesting thing, guys, one thing that I learned in the last couple of days. I texted an umpire and said to him, hey, I basically said, Scott, where is your line? Why aren't you guys embarrassed by this? And I know to a certain degree, umpires are going to close ranks, but I thought this was so exceptional, and not in a good way, but so out there that maybe I would get a reaction. Because let's face it, if it was somebody in my profession that I thought was that incompetent, at least at periods of time, I'd have a problem with it. This umpire did not go there. He said, frankly, we all make mistakes. The scrutiny on Angel is too much. Now, he didn't excuse Friday. He agreed that it was not good at all, what happened in that at-bat with Wyatt Langford. But he said, and this surprised me, the umpires love Angel Hernandez.
He ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
He is in one of the strongest unions in sports.
Plus, he makes the rest of them look better.
You saw, Frank Kona talk about this morning, and he's like, we have such better technology now. Like, he's not. We grew up on far worse umpires. There was an Angel Hernandez in every era.
What was your read on Francona when we were asking him about, when Bobby was asking him about Hernandez?
Where he smirked. And he looked like he wanted, it looked like he had a couple zingers that he wanted to drop that he decided not to. But
encompassing.
It's fun.
Type of
before I asked him, I was like, I was curious. I Googled before I asked him. I was like, let me make sure he doesn't have anything like really personal that he's going to take it as a sarcastic question if I ask him what he thinks of Angel Hernandez. So apparently in 2021, he told Angel Hernandez after call, he said, "Why is this always happening when you're here?"
Who said that?
Terry Francona. He's like, "Why is it always you?" And so, I mean, that seems to be the general sentiment from a lot of people. Why is it always you? Why is when one of these things happens, why is it you every time?
Every time it is. And everybody has a problem with them, and nobody really likes him as an umpire. I heard A.J. Brzezinski on the same podcast with Eric Kratz was on it, too. And they're both catchers. And they said they generally love Angel. Everybody loves Angel
like as a person. Yeah.
But they hate him as an umpire because he's not a good umpire. But the problem is that the umpires union, you can't fire him. Like there is no fire. You ain't getting rid of him. Like he would have to retire on his own or do something so bad, and I don't know what else you could do, but that's so bad that he hasn't done already. That they get rid of him.
Chris Henderson.
I was just gonna say one of the points that somebody brought up, they were like, what would it take? Would Angel Hernandez literally, if he, because this union is so strong, if he every single call called a ball a strike and a strike a ball, would that even be enough? Because it doesn't feel like that even is enough to get him out right now.
Wow. Wow. Chris Henderson got Jack Leiter to name his Mount Rushmore of pitchers. Nolan, Bob Gibson,
Bassick,
Pedro, and DeGrom. He's going with 2 out of 4 Texas Rangers. Smart.
Very smart.
Probably getting the education from Pops on Bob Gibson and Nolan.
Very smart to do it, especially like not just 2 Rangers, but I mean one specifically who's going to be in there. So, like, you can, like, go pick his brain. Like, look, you're on my Mount Rushmore. I need to know what you think.
All right, we're enjoying a little bit of breakfast out here at the Invited Celebrity Classic. And speaking of food, the Squatters have taken over Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is doing bagels?
Yeah, let's do the McDonald's one real quick.
Bringing back bagels?
Yeah, so they're trying to offset. So California has a
and Red Lobster's supposedly filing for bankruptcy.
Man, you better get them biscuits now while you can.
All the food.
All the food.
Did you say? Were you serious that the bottomless shrimp?
I'm dead
sunk
serious.
Them?
They lost $11 million in the third quarter last year just on bottomless shrimp.
That does not seem like a smart idea.
No, it doesn't.
Let's just do all you can eat lobster.
It's $20 apparently for bottomless shrimp. And they lost all that money, so they eventually came back around. All right, $25. People are eating way too much shrimp, more than we anticipated. And now they're about to go into bankruptcy, apparently.
So according to Bloomberg News, McDonald's is trying to find ways to offset, like, certain states having a minimum wage hike. So, like, California now, $20 minimum wage for, like, fast food workers. So they have a task force called Rise and Dominate. And they're trying to find ways to offset the cost. One of the ways is that they are bringing back a fan favorite, the breakfast bagels.
Never had it.
They're going to bring back
bagels
to McDonald's.
The steak, egg, and cheese bagel.
It's just dough, right? It's not a whole lot, right? It's just dough. They're going to make their own bagels now. And they first introduced the breakfast bagel with egg and protein back in 1999. But they stopped serving bagels as a standalone breakfast item in 2020 during the pandemic.
Yep.
This is a standalone. Well, now they're going to bring back the standalone bagel, and you go to your McDonald's and get a standalone bagel coming up soon because they're trying to find ways to offset the cost increase.
I don't know that I could eat one today, a steak, egg, and cheese bagel, but because back in the day when I would eat one of those, like, I felt like my arteries were clogging. Like, as I take a bite, like, I could almost, like, feel it internally. That thing was, they give you this slab of steak, they'd give you some, like, caramelized onions, they throw those on there, put a little egg thing on there, and then they would take this just dollop of garlic butter throw it on the bottom of it, and the steak
squish
would
it
melt
together,
it, and you get that big, holy cow, it was good, but it was also probably one of the deadliest things to ever exist on a fast food menu.
And Gordon Ramsay got squatted.
They have taken over a pub owned by him in central London, which is up for sale with a price of £13 million. 6 people have boarded up the windows and put up a legal warning defending their occupation of the gastro pub.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how this is an actual thing. They want to use the space as a community art cafe, and they're just like, you know what? We can't afford it, so we're just going to take it over.
So could we just, like, squat here at the Las Colinas Country
Club? If you can hide in here for 30 days. You could eventually be squatted in there. Now, listen, I think this is saving world because I've never understood Gordon Ramsay. I don't know how you could be a chef from England and make it anywhere.
Oh!
I mean, where's the English food that is great?
Oh,
right?
Indian food.
Indian food.
Yeah.
What's not from England? Indian food.
No,
okay?
No.
So what do you have? The fish and chips. Yeah, the people who make. I mean, I can't trust somebody who grew up on spotted dick.
No, he's.
I think you let that be the walk off. I think you do, unless you can top it.
No.
Could one of RJ Choppy's Tennessee Volunteers be starting at running back for the Cowboys next season? That's next. And below the belt right here on the Fan Bus.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Oh, baby. Oh. RJ Choppy might no longer be the most famous Tennessee Volunteer in the city of Dallas.
Oh, baby.
Well, I think Jason Witten is.
Is that even really Dallas? Like, I mean, he's off.
Westlake,
yeah,
Argyle.
Like, I mean, that's like another country, basically. Dane Brugler has his 7-round mock draft out. He made every single selection for every single team and put that out on The Athletic yesterday. So
rank the draft analysts that you trust as it stands today in order of like 1 through 4.
For like mock draft purposes, like accuracy,
whatever you want, like their scouting of the player or mock draft. Accuracy.
To me, it's like Daniel Jeremiah, Lance Zierlein, and then there's everybody else is below. Like, I mean, well, Broadus, of course, Broadus is up there, but everybody else is below.
What about the first round mock guy?
Who's that? Oh, the guy who's like the accuracy one, or the guy who's been
the dude that is that everybody made fun of, like, because he had like Spencer Rattler as his best quarterback.
Oh yeah, that guy's an idiot. The Danny Kelly, like he's a total fraud.
I think RG3 said Rattler would be way better in the NFL than the pros.
Oh look,
I love
Rattler. If the Cowboys take Rattler like mid round, if he makes it to the fifth, which he won't, but if he makes it there,
mid round. I think the Cowboys like him more than you do.
Oh, no, I'm saying if they can get him, they can find a way to get him, because I don't have a four of them, but they can find a way to get a fourth.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler could go as early as the second round. I think teams absolutely like him. But you know what? Chop, if Dane Brugler's right here, you will have the opportunity to take a quarterback at number 24, a quarterback that you like.
Baby.
Let's go down the list of just hit some of the highlights of the picks leading up to Dallas at 24. Then we'll go through the picks that he has for the Cowboys after that. Number one overall, obviously, Caleb Williams from USC. Number two, Jaden Daniels. Number three, the Patriots take Drake May. I feel like that's kind of become the consensus as we close in on the draft, right? It's just Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, and then Drake May to the Patriots. And that's sort of all just fallen into place. Where he has a bit of a differing opinion. Most people you see have the Vikings trading up to 5 in their mock drafts. He has it being all 4 picks are quarterbacks to start the draft, because he has the Vikings trading up to the Arizona Cardinals pick at number 4 and taking J.J. McCarthy, Sean Sharif's favorite quarterback.
Old bus driver.
It's interesting. He said that Daniel Jeremiah did a conference call through the NFL Network with a bunch of different like local media outlets the other day, and it's just like this hour-long call where beat reporters can ask him questions about the draft, and he'll do it. And somebody had asked him about the Minnesota quarterback situation, and I know you've said that Chicago to you is one of the best number one pick situations for a quarterback that we've seen in recent years. He was saying that he thinks that Minnesota is absolutely ripe for any like these quarterbacks should all be salivating to jump in and play for Minnesota, that of all the quarterback needy teams, Minnesota is the one that if you can get there, you're going to be set up really well.
JJ the most polarizing guy in the draft in terms of split opinion
with quarterback or just any player?
Period.
No, like I mean, a lot of people there's I think that people Jayden have kind of centered around. Yeah, well, I mean, Jaden, because of being a running quarterback, that naturally causes him to split. But I think most people have him as a first-rounder at this point. I don't. I mean, I like him. But I think most people at this point agree that, all right, well, that's a first-round player. More the guys that I think cause – there's nobody like a Johnny Manziel. Like, there was half the people who talked about Johnny Manziel thought Johnny was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and the other half thought he was going to be exactly what he ended up being. Number six, the New York Giants, because there's no quarterback there, they take Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU. Philadelphia Eagles at 22, he has them taking Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia. He's been connected to the Cowboys quite a bit. And then at number 24, there's still two quarterbacks left, Chop.
Ooh, Penix and Nix.
Bo Nix from Oregon, Michael Penix from Washington. And the pick for you at that point would be?
Oh, I would take Penix of the two.
You would, but would you take Penix if he's sitting there at 24? Would you say, that's somebody I'll gamble on? That's somebody I'll roll the dice on?
Yeah, I would. I would. It gives you options. Now, it doesn't help your team this year, but that's why Dak, you know, you pay him the kind of money he is making, because he's supposed to make up for it.
What would you do? Would you cry? Would you cry live on the draft show if they drafted a quarterback at 24? You would break down and melt down and leave and storm off?
No, I would just, like, I'd be like, okay, like, I mean, it's a poor use of resources. It's a poor use of resources.
You'd be furious on the fan cam. That'd be the most viewed video.
I don't think I had a meltdown when they traded for Trey Lance. I was pretty
He wasn't that wasn't a real threat.
Yeah, it wasn't a threat.
That wasn't a threat. This would be like the replacement. This would be a totally different world. You would cry.
No,
it's
way.
Interesting. You say
I
it's
almost
a
wish they would now, so you can see my reaction to it. I'd be like, stupid.
You'd be furious.
I would
you'd be sitting there just okay. Okay,
I would be curious at the stupidity. Like, it's just it's a bad. I think Michael Penix is going to be a good player, but it's like it's just a dumb use of resources if you're trying to win right now. Ultimately,
not if you lose him.
Dane doesn't think they are going to take Michael Penix, though. He has them taking Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. And this is becoming a very trendy pick in the mock draft circles. He's big, 6'8", 322, 34-inch arms, 10-inch hands. This is a write-up. He says, ideally, the Cowboys would love to keep Tyler Smith at left guard, but it might depend on how this draft plays out. In this scenario, they add the raw but toolsy tackle who they hope will be the next Tyron Smith. Tyler Guyton, the other problem there is you are projecting a guy who the last 2 years has played one game at left tackle. So you are asking him to flip to the other side. That's the same question with Amarius Mims at Georgia. You'd be having him play from right tackle to left tackle. Even the centers that we've been talking about, Graham Barton, well, he hasn't played center since his freshman year at Duke. Jackson Powers Johnson at Oregon, well, he's got a neck problem potentially. Like, there are all these different things that you're gonna find some guys that have some sort of red flag about them. But they end up taking Tyler Guyton, the tackle from Oklahoma. A few picks later, Dane has the Raiders trading up to pick 29 to get back in the first round and take Michael Penix Jr. And then Bo Nix goes to the Rams at 52. Now, this is the rest of the little rundown that he has here on the mock draft, because he goes all seven rounds here. 56, Blue Star Special, Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from NC State, which Cowboys could use a linebacker desperately right now.
Is this who brought us loves?
Brian said this the other day, Tuesday, when we were on the draft show. He said, I'm just saying that is the closest, like the closest I've seen on tape to seeing a guy who looked like Luke Kuechly.
And
he loves it. Well, here's the problem. This is why it's a Blue Star Special. And it's like, why would Luke Kuechly be sitting there for you at pick 56? Why is that the case?
Nerve damage.
Who did he kill?
Is he more Miles Jack or Jalen Smith?
Here is the write-up from Dane Brugler.
Wait for the word degenerative.
Medical history is a bright red flag after double-digit surgeries since his senior year of high school.
Double digits?
That's 10.
10.
Or more.
Minimum 10 since October 2017, he has had 10 plus surgeries.
Were any of these like wisdom teeth?
Right.
Senior year of high school, tore his ACL in his right knee, required surgery. Re-injured the right knee the following summer, required another surgery. Sat out his first year at NC State. Underwent surgery on both shoulders after the 2020 season.
Okay. Great for a linebacker.
Missed most of 2021 after suffering his third shoulder dislocation, which required surgery. Had to have another surgery to repair shoulder blade issues. He will be 24 years old on draft weekend because of all the medical red.
Has anyone ever heard of somebody having a shoulder blade injury? Like I've never seen somebody break a shoulder blade.
What does Broadus say to all that?
So Broadus was told when he picked Jeremiah Trotter years ago the doctor told him he could play 10 games or 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Trotter played 10 years. And
so because of Jeremiah Trotter brought us to roll the dice?
Because of Jeremiah Trotter.
Kind of slurly?
Because of Jeremiah Trotter, Broadus won't just reject outright the idea of a medical guy.
Right.
He's like, I've gotta really dig in deep. And so to him, he said, second round, they take chances on hurt guys all the time. They're anyway in character guys. Do it for a guy who could be really, really good.
I have no problem with their philosophy in the second round, only because their philosophy in the second round, the hit rate they have on getting guys to second contracts in the second round is about league average. So it's not like they most people miss in the second round. Like the second round's it's a lot of misses. It's less than 50%. It's about 41% hit rate in the second round. Well, and they hit about 41%.
Maybe they'd have a higher hit rate if they weren't taking a flag guy every single time in the second round. Because I mean, like every single year,
that's what
like
most teams do. Most
guy.
Teams do take either a guy that's had a substance abuse issue or a personality issue or health issue.
I don't think at the same rate the Cowboys have. The Cowboys have like. It's like six out of the last seven second round picks all have flags. Like it is that's their area where they like to do that. Really quickly running through the rest of these picks here as we wrap up the segment. Number 87, Jalen Wright, running back.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee, who he would step in if that's your running back room. Jalen Wright stepping in and he's starting next year. That's a guy who is he is fast. He is a blur. He's 4.3 speed. Cowboys don't have a fourth round pick. Pick 174, they finally address center. They take Matt Lee, the center from Miami. Dane says if the Cowboys had to play a game tomorrow, the coaches would be comfortable with Brock Hoffman at center, but they address the position at some point in the draft. With his anchor and quickness, Lee is terrific value in the late fifth. And then closing out the draft with the late day three picks, Xavier Weaver, wide receiver, Colorado, Shaw Smith-Wade, cornerback, Washington State, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, edge rusher from Notre Dame. So the Cowboys, as we've seen a lot in these mock drafts, come away with some combination in the first three rounds of offensive line, linebacker, running back.
Below the belt with Roberto, who will be part of Draft 101 live tonight on our fan cam, YouTube, and Twitch starting at 7 p.m. Do not miss that. Final hour of the show. We got a golf thief, Matt Pittman. Was he arrested at Augusta? We got NBA Hall of Famers fighting, and maybe a surprise for RJ Choppy. We'll see. Final hour from here at the Invited Celebrity Classic next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.